And they departed for their country by another way. The Feast of the Epiphany ends its gospel message with the idea of change, of conversion, of doing something a little differently than was done before. So I don't think that there's a coincidence there that we celebrate this very near the new year, that this is a time that we take stock of 2017, where we were, what are some things that we want to change. We call these New Year's resolutions. I'm reminded of the comedian Jim Gaffigan, this Catholic comedian, who talks about New Year's resolutions, and he says, you know, every year people have all these new goals about exercise. You know, and January 1st comes, and they're like, I'm going to exercise every single day. And then January 2nd comes, and they're like, well, not every day. I got to let my muscles breathe a little bit. And then January 3rd comes, and they're like, ah, I like the way I look. But New Year's resolutions, it's a time for us to set these new goals that 2018 will be better than 2017. And so as we celebrate the Epiphany, this time of changing our ways, I would like to propose three New Year's resolutions for 2018, three things we can do as Catholics that should deepen our faith and bring us into closer alignment with God's will in our lives. Now, you may already be practicing these three things. That's awesome. That's great. Keep doing them. Maybe there's some New Year's resolutions that you can take on. But I'd like to propose these three very simple, very ordinary things that I believe not only would make an impact on our lives, but on the world around us. Now, it just seems fair that with three kings, three New Year's resolutions, there should also be three stories. So here we go. Story number one. When I was a kid, we had these awesome forests behind our house. And it was not uncommon for me and my younger brothers to go out and explore those woods. It was tons of fun. We would get a sheet of paper, we'd actually map out, you know, the routes that we would take and try to have you know, some semblance of adventuring, you know, and cartography and all this good stuff. But we'd always stay close to home. You know, we never really got too far away. Mom could always trust that she could yell out into the woods that it was supper time and we would be coming back home. Except for once, we decided to have a grand adventure. And we packed snacks, I think it was peanut butter sandwiches, you know, and we had some water with us, and we had our backpacks, and just little kids. We took a compass with us, which was so stupid, because we didn't know where north was, like what that actually pointed to. We were just like, we have a compass, well, we can't get lost, you know, it was like the GPS of the day. And we set out, and I remember we got into the woods, and there was a creek bed that ran through the woods. We were like, we're going to discover how far this goes. It was like trying to discover the source of the Nile, you know. We were these adventurers, and we were, you know, going through, you know, and after a certain amount of time, my younger brothers, who were, you know, much smaller than me, they started complaining about how tired they were, you know, how hungry they were, that we went through the peanut butter sandwiches, and they just wanted to go back home. And I was like, no way, you know, we're going the distance today, you know, we are going as far as we can. They started pointing out, they're like, there's poison ivy everywhere, we just want to go home. I was like, no, we're going to keep going, you know. So we went for, you know, multiple hours walking through this woods, you know, and they kept asking me if I knew where we were, and I would be like, yeah, sure, I know exactly where we are. I had no idea. I had no idea where we were. But finally, I began to agree with them, and I was getting tired, and I was getting hungry, and I was a little weary of the poison ivy around us. So finally, I was like, yeah, you're right. We need to get out of the woods and figure out where we're at. So I stepped out of the woods and looked around, and we were actually in a familiar place. It was back way behind our house, Bowman's Christmas Tree Farm, where we would go all the time to play. But what surprised us is we stepped out of the woods, and waiting for us was Mom and my sister Anna, and they rushed towards us with tears coming out of their eyes, and they embraced us, and they were like, we found you, we thought you were lost, you know, and we couldn't get to you guys, and we're just kind of standing there stunned, you know, that they had rushed towards us. And then the other shoe dropped, and Mom told us that she had called our dad at work, telling him that we were lost. So he's rushing home from work, and we're like, we're going to be in so much trouble now because Dad's coming home. So we get back to the house, and Dad should have been there at this point, and he wasn't. Time started to pass, and this was the age before cell phones. We couldn't call him. He couldn't call us. Finally, the telephone rings. Apparently, in his rush getting home, he was driving a lot faster than he normally would, and the car broke down on the interstate. So he had to pull off to the shoulder, and he had to hop the fence, go over to people's houses to get a hold of a telephone to call us so a mom could go and pick him up. And he said when he was looking at these houses, you know, trying to figure out, you know, which ones would be okay to, you know, knock on the door and ask for some help, he kept looking for a statue of the Blessed Virgin in front of these houses, because he's like, if it has a statue of Mary, I know I can trust these people. I can go in there and they're going to help me out. And so sure enough, he found a house with the statue, went in, and was able to call home. The first New Year's resolution is that we have this great faith in Our Lady and her ability to help us. It's a great sign of our Catholic faith. And so in 2018, I would encourage us, as the Magi did, they came in there and they beheld the Christ child and the Mother of God. The two go hand in hand. It's mentioned in today's gospel. And so let us take some time and place a definite area in our house dedicated to Mary. Maybe it's with a statue. Maybe it's with a prayer book, whatever it may be. Maybe it's getting a statue that we put in our front yard. I know for me personally, driving along and seeing those statues in front of houses gives me hope. It reminds me of the importance of our faith and almost is like that shining star that guides us home to Christ. Second story. When I was in college, I would come home on the weekends to visit the family, and my dad always had a time slot in adoration from 11 p.m. till midnight on Saturday nights. And he was very keen on every Saturday taking the entire family, all of us, with him to adoration. And, you know, we just kind of got used to it. It was part of our routine, is what we did. So there was one Saturday that we went, and during the day we had spent the day being with my brothers. They were in cross country. We were cheering them on. You know, it was a great day of racing, you know, and they did well. And we went to adoration that evening, and I totally fell asleep. And as I was sleeping in adoration, I began to dream about the cross country meet. And so in my dream, you know, I'm cheering my brothers on. I'm like, go, 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 go. Apparently in real life, I was also cheering out loud. And so my family, all they hear from me on the side here is I'm just going, rah, 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 and they're just like, what's going on with Danny? It actually got so loud that I woke myself up. You know, I don't know if you've ever had a dream like that where you shout out or something and it wakes you up. And I woke up and I saw them all kind of staring at me, you know, and we kind of had a laugh about it. And that time slot, that 11 p.m. to midnight time slot on Saturday night, that has been a constant for over a decade in our house. It's just known that on Saturday night at that time, Dad goes to adoration. And he takes with him all the prayers of our family, all the things that are going on in our life, and he puts them before our Lord. In fact, even last Saturday, after the funeral for my brother, we were all sitting around the house and just coming to grips with that reality that my brother David was no longer with us. It got to be later in the evening, and I saw Dad putting on his shoes and getting his coat ready. And I had forgotten about it, and I asked where he was going, and he's like, I'm going to adoration. I'm going to sit before the Lord. In a world that has become so chaotic and unpredictable, something as simple as having an adoration time slot, this permanence, this time that we know we can be like the Magi that come and see the Christ child, that we can bask in his glory. How we need that more now than ever. And thankfully here at this parish, we have exactly that available to us. In the Perpetual Adoration Chapel that we have here on campus, we have that opportunity if only we would take advantage of it. And so make 2018 the year of adoration. Last story. When I was the chaplain at Cardinal Ritter High School, and I was also the associate pastor at St. Christopher's, it was great. I was not a pastor. I had zero responsibilities. It was awesome. And our daily mass was at like 9 in the morning, so I had a little bit of a chance to sleep in the day. I could show up like 5 minutes before mass began, and I was good to go. You know, no big deal. Until my second year. Over the summer between my first year and second year at Cardinal Ritter High School, I got an email from one of our incoming seniors at the high school. And at Cardinal Ritter, you know, we would have mass like once a month, you know, for the whole school. Now, that was pretty much it. You know, that was about all we did in that vein. So I get this email from Keith Owen, great guy, kind of a natural leader, you know, very funny guy, very witty. And he emailed me and he said, Father Badel, I have just spent my entire summer going to great Catholic programs like the Summer Field Studies in Colorado, which is where I was with him. Through the summer, he went to One Bread, One Cup down at St. Mitre. And he said, through all these programs, we had daily mass. And he said, and I have fallen in love with going to daily mass, with beginning my day with receiving the Eucharist. And he says, what a shame it would be for me to have to give that up just because I'm coming back to Catholic school. And I took this personally. And I was just, you know, and I was like, I'm not going to let this guy, you know, get the better of me. So I type him back, and I was like, well, as a matter of fact, we're going to be doing daily mass this year at 7:25 a.m. every day. Now, I didn't actually plan this before I got the email, but after I got it, I was like, I can't let him one-up me in religion, so we're going to make sure we do this. So I emailed him back. I was like, Keith, if we're doing this, you have to be there every day, and you need to bring some of your friends so that we have enough people to make this worth my while. Well, wouldn't you know it? Every single day that year, that chapel at Cardinal Ritter High School was packed at 7:25 a.m. before school started. Now, you could tell there were days that those kids did not want to be there, but they were. And once we got to graduation at the end of the year, I had numbers of kids that came up to me and thanked me for providing daily mass. They said before they would wake up and they would just regret having to go to school. They weren't thankful for anything. They just kind of had this self-sorrow, this self-pity in their life. And they noticed when they started going to daily mass and they received Jesus Christ, suddenly things changed. They began their day in thanksgiving. They began their day recognizing that there was something bigger than themselves at stake and that they were a part of that. They had purpose. And some of them even said that their lives were changed because of that. Now, we here at these parishes, in the city of Terre Haute, have daily mass at multiple times through the day. Now, I get that work is busy. I get life gets crazy, and going to daily mass can be difficult. But if you can go, I mean, we look at the world around us and wonder how and why it's so screwed up, and we kind of just expect the world to right itself, but it's not going to. The world doesn't know how to fix its own problems. If you want to make the world a better place, if you want to change the world, this is it. You want to change the world? Go to daily mass. You want to make an impact on the world around you? Go to adoration. You want to make an impact in your family? Honor Our Lady. In these ways, 2018 can be something amazing. We can truly be like the Magi that followed that star and saw something amazing. Something that at the time seemed so rare, but today in our society is so familiar and so readily accessible. If only we would take advantage of it. Let us make 2018 better than 2017. Let us make these New Year resolutions that change our lives and the world around us. And by doing so, let us come to see Christ. Amen.